Welcome, label-defying listeners, to episode 91 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where we podcast and yet refuse the label of podcasters. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And this episode is all about labels and how we need not accept them like a broken beast accepts the yoke. But before we get down to freeing beasts of burden from their burden, let's kick things off in our usual weekly geekly, geekly weekly style, like good little animals, with our weekly geekly, geekly weekly update. Brian, you go first, man. What have you been up to?
I just got bored with real life lately, and I just kind of took off to Disney last weekend, like real unannounced, just planned it for like half a day, just ran up there, and I tried out this thing. I shouldn't even tell people about it. I should keep it a big secret, but I was just thinking, what does one who lives in Orlando do at Disney? And I came across, you know, you can just go to the resorts to, like, hang out. Or, you know, the restaurants at the resorts. And you don't have to go to the resort to be a resort. And you don't have to go to Disney through the entrance. And, you know, there's surface roads and everything. So I printed this out. It's kind of a neat little trick or whatever. But as long as you're eating at one of the resorts, you can just park there. So I made reservations at not the nice restaurant, not Ohana, is it called, at the Polynesian. But they have, like, some weird, like, lunch counter. And if you eat there, you can just hop the monorail and go to the park. So for the first time in my life, I went to Disney and didn't go in through the transportation center. No tram ride, no 5,000-acre parking lot, no parking fee, actually, although I'm an AP holder, so that doesn't count. It was really cool, and it made me feel, at least, like I was even more on vacation. Because, dude, it's weird hopping out of your car and getting on a monorail.
That is crazy. That's a whole new perspective.
It made me feel like the entire, like, weekend was a vacation, because I just, like, oh yeah, I could just drive up and get on a monorail. Like, it took a barrier down. It went from, like, oh, I'm at Disney, or entering Disney and exiting the real world, to, like, it's just the whole thing is apart. Like, I could be at Disney in any second now.
That's really cool. So, entering Disney without the usual trappings of entering Disney.
I kind of miss some of the signage. Like, I really like seeing the Tower of Terror sign and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't really get that, like, I'm here feeling. But just hopping on a monorail was even cooler. So it was totally worth missing that.
Man, that's awesome.
I recommend it. Very neat, very neat. And also, while I was in that area, I can't really call it Orlando because it was a bit north of Orlando, but I had heard tell of a comic book store in that area, and I was like, oh, let me check it out. I've never been there. So I dropped by Heroes Landing in like Claremont or something like that. I don't know. Greater Orlando. And nice little place. I kind of dig it. And I'm happy to report for me, but it might suck for you. If I have a complaint about Tate's, it's that I don't think they take their comic books very seriously. They're too much of everything else. So you know how I've been going on and on and on and on and on about the Star Wars books?
Yeah.
Dude, this place had every Star Wars book I've been missing.
Really?
I got like 3 books that Tate's just doesn't have.
And this was in Claremont, Florida?
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. I saw a Claremont exit sign.
That's like in my dad's neck of the woods. So.
Oh, okay. So
you will have to tell me the name of this place you found this, and we will have to put it in the show notes. This is worth exploring.
Pretty neat little store, too. This tiny little comic book store, but they were actually doing gaming. It was a Friday night, doing some gaming up there. I liked that. And pretty typical gaming. You know, they all looked up and grunted as I walked in, and they completely ignored me. I actually found some neat stuff on the discount bin I got for like $5. Nice place. I'll link you.
Awesome. Look for that in the show notes, listeners. A cool new comic book store in the middle of Florida, kind of north of Disney.
And last thing I did was a bit of a music nerd thing. I really like various types of metal, like symphonic metal, epic metal, power metal, all that kind of like weird stuff. And one of my more favorite bands released a new album last week, and I was kind of like, I'm gonna rush right out and buy it. That way they show up on charts and all that kind of stuff. If you're into, I don't really know how to compare them. If you're into Nightwish, I guess Within Temptations' new album is pretty decent. Not my favorite album of theirs, but really good. And I got the, like, you know, the extra super special, like, limited edition with an extra disc. And the extra disc had some, like, kind of, like, pop covers. Like, it had, you know, those songs that play every 30 seconds. Redone in, like, kind of epic metal. Very neat.
Wow, awesome. So, geekiness on three fronts update.
I try to diversify. Keep a, you know, well-rounded portfolio.
Well, cool. I don't. So if you are done, I will get onto my very brief one. It's good that you went into some detail because my update is pretty short.
Go for it.
Been playing some Bioshock Infinite on the PlayStation 3 and playing Tearaway on the PlayStation Vita. So beyond that, some very, very light reading. Nothing really to speak of. Pretty tame. Just doing some gaming.
Now, if I can expand a little bit, you're doing Bioshock Infinite because that game was actually free recently on PlayStation Network, correct?
Yes, I will say that the PlayStation Plus membership continues to pay dividends far in excess of those that an Xbox Gold membership pays. And I've been an Xbox subscriber since Xbox Live went live, all the way back on the original Xbox. So it's not like I'm a fanboy for Sony, but they really do have a superior value proposition.
I that's actually the reason I brought it up, because I'm also new to PlayStation Plus, and I don't even own a PlayStation 3, and they're giving me free games. Like you can quote-unquote buy those games just from the website, and now I have like the DRM to just download them whenever I get a PlayStation 3. And I really actually, I think that's pretty killer.
Yeah, it really is. So once they're in your queue, or once you kind of bought the rights to them, they're yours, like, until they say otherwise, basically?
Uh-huh. Well, they do warn you that if you ever lose your subscription, that you obviously don't, you know, get to play the games without PlayStation Plus.
Right, because you have to validate that you own it, right?
Right. But I'm not really planning on doing that. I'm getting all the PlayStation 4 freebies, and then just building this Vita library and PlayStation 3 library.
That's pretty awesome. So are you going to get a Vita soon? I know I've been kind of trying to get on your... I've been on your case to get one just so we can have, like, a system parity again.
I am torn. I don't really want a portable system. I was going to wait for the Vita TV or whatever so I could just play those games at home. But now I'm kind of freaking out because you're getting rid of the what is it, OLED screen?
Yes, yes.
And I mean, if I'm going to have a good one. I hate to be that way, but...
Yeah, that's basically why I rushed out to buy a Vita. So, yeah, get it while it still has the OLED. And then we'll both still get the Vita TV whenever that comes over to the U.S. So, not to worry. We'll still have that as well. By the way, any word on when that's coming out here?
I have not heard, like, a word. I haven't even heard confirmation that it is. But I'm just going on the fact that they would be idiots not to. So they have to at some point.
Well, we'll have about 8 different ways to play the entire PlayStation catalog going all the way back to the PS1. I predict by the end of this year. Are we becoming PlayStation fanboys? It's not that I have disdain for Microsoft, but my allegiance seems to be shifting towards Sony this generation. Like, they've gotten their act together after kind of getting their clock cleaned last gen.
I think about this a lot. I still play my 360. I still like the 360 a lot. That was a good machine, still is a good machine. I don't have an Xbox One because that what's it called, Kinect Eye thing really creeps me out, man. I don't like what they're doing with that. I just don't want to support it, you know. But ultimately, I almost feel like I'm, instead of being disloyal, kind of returning to my roots, man. Do you remember how much we played the PlayStation 2?
Yes. Yes, I believe so.
Jesus Christ, I love the PlayStation 2.
I think of the PS2 era as having been consumed by a lot of EverQuest, but thinking back, we did play that system quite a lot, didn't we?
A lot. It had a lot of good stuff, man.
And that was even in the wake of it killing our beloved Dreamcast.
Yeah, if I can get over the animosity of, like, just straight-up dick marketing methods and, like, strong-arming the competition out of business, I was obviously pretty loyal to Sony at some point.
I'm sure tiny Japanese upstart company Sony welcomes you back into the fold.
It was a close call for a little while there. They almost didn't make it.
Yeah, they were hanging on by a thread. But it's good to know that Sony will be around at least for another round of consoles, maybe. Well, awesome. That was sort of an extended Weekly Geekly into a pretty cool discussion of console politics. We will leave the Wii U for another discussion in the future. But kind of a good segue, whether we meant it to be or not, because the question I asked is whether or not we're becoming Sony fanboys. And I think that neither of us have really felt much of a compulsion to be diehard fans of one system over another. We happen to buy whatever systems we bought over the years, but I don't think, except when we were like kids and like we were Super NES versus Genesis like fanatics, I don't really think that we've been like diehard, like I'm a Sony guy, I'm a Microsoft guy, or I'm a Nintendo freak or whatever, or anything like that. So, I mean, do you agree with that, that we've sort of kind of rejected those labels?
I'm going to tell another extended story here just because it's a fond memory. When I first got into gaming, I remembered feeling, I was like, it wasn't 8-bit. It was like 16-bit. Because 8-bit I just got, like, you know, that was like given to me. And I was like, oh, video games are cool, let me play these. I didn't like make a conscious decision or anything like that. But when 16-bit rolled around, I was into video games, and I have to choose now, and I have to pick a side, and blah blah blah. And we were looking at it, and alright, well, I think the Super Nintendo sounds better, and it was the Final Fantasies. Final Fantasy II, like, flipped sides for me. I was like, alright, Final Fantasy II is not available in the Genesis, I gotta get this. I think it was Christmas that year. My grandma was like, would you like a Genesis? And my, like, I don't even remember, man, like 12-year-old brain just had this kind of like eureka moment. Wait, it's cool if I have both? Like, really? And ever since then, I was just like, why not both?
Yeah, why really deny yourself, right? That's, I came around to that way of thinking when you and I first started hanging out a lot as kids, when I had like a Super NES and then my neighbor across the street had a Genesis and we had, you know, it was like a war. But then I went over to your house and you had those plus a TurboGrafx-16 and I'm like, duh, why wouldn't I have all the systems? That way I could play all the games.
I can do whatever the hell I want.
Right. Now, as a kid, it was quite a feat. You had to assemble your collection, do a lot of begging, borrowing, birthdays, etc., you know, Christmases and so on. But eventually you were able to compile a collection if you played your cards right. And you were a middle-class youngster like we were.
I still remember swapping cords on the stereo. Let's listen to this in stereo now.
Right. When we realized you didn't have to use the RF switch, you could use the AV cables and get left and right channel. Woo!
And you could hear the, whatever they were called, the cars in F-Zero scraping when they turned.
Oh, that was really cool. Yeah, I will say, and not to sound like a Super NES fanboy, the Super NES, it had a slight technical edge on the Genesis. It had some graphical tricks it could do, and it had a better sound output for sure. Which isn't to say I dislike the Genesis, because I bought pretty much every add-on for that thing they ever made, but... No, I stand corrected. I bought every add-on ever made, except for the 32X, but you filled that gap, if I recall.
I did actually have a 32X. It was on, like, super discount. I got it for, like, 97 cents at a Toys R Us.
97 cents, well spent, maybe.
I bought games for that that straight up just didn't work, and I was like, eh, who cares? It would have sucked anyway.
Okay, so back to our point. We have sort of steered clear of fanboy labels, and so because of that, we feel totally qualified to condemn everybody else in the world who accepts labels willingly. And I think that's the basic premise of tonight's show, which is that you need not be defined by what you like, by what you do, etc.
You need not be a label.
Right. You need not be a label. A verb does not a noun make. So doing something does not make you something necessarily. Okay. Now, this doesn't apply everywhere in life. You know what? Actually, it kind of does. I'm a computer programmer by trade. I don't walk around introducing myself as a programmer and saying that all my views come from my position as a programmer. Well, you know, my view on this particular issue as a programmer is XYZ. I mean, that would be silly, would it not?
That'd be pretty silly.
Right. So, I mean, if I were to ask, and likewise, it would be silly for me to ask you something like, Brian, as a writer and copywriter, what are your opinions on the Affordable Health Care Act? That would be dumb, because your profession has no bearing on your general outlook on life necessarily. And that goes doubly so for your hobbies and interests. And so let's delve into that. I think we each sort of came up with like certain activities and the associated identity that comes bundled with them to which we object. And we're not really trying to go for a negative vibe on this so much as we are pointing out that people are a little too apt to accept these labels, right?
I always view it as people should be inclusive instead of exclusive. No matter what weird, unique niche you're into, someone's trying to subdivide it.
So give me an example, actually, of that.
Star Wars.
I'm a Boba Fett fan.
It's not even that. Like, oh, you don't read EU?
So
you've only seen the movies. You haven't read the 97 novelizations by Timothy Zahn about the 3-month period between the two movies. Ugh, you're not a fan.
So you're going down the road of no matter how much of a exalted position you think you're in with regard to a certain hobby or passion, there's somebody who can claim an even higher rank.
Not even that. Like, it's just that. So I like Star Wars. You like Star Wars. Cool. Well, do you like the books? Because if you don't like the books, liking Star Wars isn't enough. You got a lot in common with just liking Star Wars, okay, dude? Why don't we stop there? Why don't we just be friends?
Okay, so if I say I like Star Wars, somebody will then take that as me claiming to be a Star Wars fan. And in their mind, along with that label comes a list of prerequisites that allow me to walk around with the title Star Wars fan.
Right.
Right, okay, I see. So you're approaching it from the standpoint of you shouldn't necessarily try to label people who claim they have an interest, just as people who have an interest shouldn't necessarily claim a label.
If someone walks up to you and says, I'm into this, and you're into that, and immediately these two perfect strangers could spend the next 2 hours miming word for word the entire script from every angle, maybe you should be friends.
Right, but if they're not into the general Thrawn or Prawn or whatever series, I don't really want to be friends with them.
Maybe it's okay for them not to understand every single second of the recorded 3,000 years before the movie started.
Right, right.
You got enough in common, dude. You don't need a clone.
Got it. Okay, so be open to different perspectives on the same topic, let's say.
It's okay that it's a bullseye. He didn't need to split your arrow.
Okay, there you go. All right, so you sort of hit on the Star Wars super fan, and I will take another one. I'll go more general. I'll take the label gamer. I'm a gamer. What does that mean? I think that there's a common perception that it means that you have logged so many hours in an MMORPG that you have like totally stayed up for like 96 hours without showering and drinking nothing but Mountain Dew and eating like beef jerky. And, you know, you're like a super badass who could like pwn everybody at FPSs. I think for every self-proclaimed gamer out there, there is like a resume that will never match one for one to any other gamer's resume out there. And I think that's crap. I mean, I once was a really hardcore, like going for the hardest difficulty on everything gamer. As my life has diversified and I've unfortunately had to spend more of my time doing things that don't involve gaming, I've had to become a little more casual and play games for entertainment, not necessarily to boost my self-esteem and ego, you know?
Not necessarily, because you needed a new controller.
Right. Implying, of course, that I would put one through a wall, which I'm not saying ever happened, but yeah.
I had a very nice recreation of a Spanish broadsword that I happen to know will cleave a Super Nintendo controller clean in half. Not really proud of that. I was a silly child.
But to linger on the gamer topic for a little while, how much of that is actual culture and how much of that is an image that the media has assigned to you that you're embracing? Like, just because you play games doesn't mean you're like some freak that stays indoors 24/7, right?
It shouldn't.
Right, but people embrace it. They embrace like they embrace negative stereotypes. And this is especially true in our sort of nerd geek ecosystem. Like, you're marginalized by default in the media, except for now when there's some sort of weird mass market fetishization of, you know, nerdy geeky subgenres. But you're marginalized, and not only do you accept that, you embrace it. That's strange to me. That's odd.
I think that's a lot of lost souls. I think it's people who haven't found what they are yet, clinging to something that they could be, maybe. I mean, I went through it in high school, you know, wearing certain clothes or, you know, hanging out with certain people or whatever. I think that's a step that maybe you're supposed to get rid of when you're young.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've always played games, but I've always felt that I was in every other way a fully functional person, able to socialize and be friends with people who don't play games and so on. So hard for me to understand the ready acceptance of the gamer label. And before I close out the topic of gamer, I'm going to highlight how annoyed I am by these sort of subclasses of gamers that have come to the fore lately. And they are a nasty blend of the gamer label and, of course, the identity that people are forced to like wear on their sleeve everywhere in our society. I'm talking, of course, about things like gamer, which is a gay person who plays video games, and a girl gamer with a bunch of R's, because you're a girl who plays games.
Because you're a girl who growls who plays games.
Right. Now, I get that, again, because of the original gamer label, which is normally affixed to heterosexual males who are like hyper-aggressive freaks, that a gay person who, I guess because they're gay, is presumably doesn't fit any of those descriptions, and as well a female, would be an anomaly. And so they must hyphenate gamer with either a girl or they have to just add a Y for gamer. Because that really makes a big difference.
Here's something I've always wondered. I thought growing up a gamer was hard enough. Why tack on something even harder onto it?
I think the only legitimate excuse I've heard for people self-identifying as gamers or girl gamers, or I suppose there's a combination of the two, which is a girl gamer, also known as a lesbiamer, maybe? I don't know. I think the only legitimate reason for self-identifying as such is that you want to bring attention to the people in the industry that, hey, you know, I really don't appreciate the, you know, sort of offensive stereotypes and stuff that denigrate women and homosexual people in games, which as a heterosexual male don't necessarily seem out of control to me, but I don't have that perspective. So I guess I can see self-identifying to a point. I still don't like the label. I already don't like the label gamer, and I really don't like sub-labels under that label. It's the labeling that bothers me. You know what I mean? This is your activity. This is not who you are.
I think you just nailed it too, because from my perspective, I don't view this person as gay. I don't view this person as a woman. I don't view this person as a gamer. So it is difficult for me to think of, well, gay girl gamers aren't representative enough in video games, when I'm just like, well, you're a human and there's humans in video games.
Right. I guess when it comes to certain things, like in an MMORPG, if you're able to marry, right, it might be really shitty if you and a guy, if you were a gay man, wanted to get married in the game, and like the rules of the game would not let your character like turn on the married flag with another male character, say. Little things like that I could see being worth asserting yourself, you know, because you want to be fully part of the game's narrative and mechanics, right? But apart from that, yeah, I mean, I don't really, when I'm playing an online game with other people, I don't like vet them first. Like, okay, so tell me about your gender, sexual preference, race, etc.
I do remember the, I don't know if it was officially the first lesbian couple or if it was just the first lesbian couple on our server or whatever, but I do remember the first lesbian couple on Khazix Thule and EverQuest to get married, and everybody was just like, whatever, you gonna pull? I always felt kind of good about that, because they expected to be excommunicated. They're just like, well, we're going to petition to be married. The GM was like, okay, you're married. Like, no problem. Like, I don't care. Two girls? Okay. Yeah, we'll do the ceremony. Where do you want it?
And so they were married outside of Blackboro and lived happily ever after. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was a case of gamers being progressive and therefore embracing girl gamers as they were members of their own community. All right, let's move on from that. That was a strange combination of our passion of gaming and weird identity politics and the labels that come with it. Have you got something else you want to talk about?
I'll pick up the reader.
Oh, yes.
Just because that's near and dear to my heart. Let me just say, I'll get the negativity out of the way. If you call it Game of Thrones, you're not a reader.
I will add to that, that if you go around and obnoxiously tell everybody it's a Song of Ice and Fire, Fire and Ice, in whichever order it is, like to prove that you're better than everyone else, you're borderline not a reader. You know what I mean? There's a certain way of delivering that correction that lets me know that you're trying too hard.
I just assume we're talking about the television series when you say Game of Thrones.
Okay, yeah, I do too.
Because there are enough differences to differentiate.
Right. I'll take Ice and Fire, and I'll know what you're talking about. If you say, oh, I read Game of Thrones, I'm assuming you just read the first book, and you've got, like, all the others to go.
Exactly. That the fact that is actually a book in a series doesn't help any at all.
Right. I'll go a step further and say that just because you've read the entire Song of Ice and Fire series doesn't make you some sort of accomplished reader or scholar or person of great erudition. And I say that because there are people who like walk around with their chest puffed out because they've read like the latest, most fashionable fiction, you know, genre fiction, as you learn the term in school. And I am not impressed by your ability to read, because I've been reading since I was a little kid.
A lot of little kids read. It's not that terribly difficult.
Like, I encourage it. It's good. You should read. It expands your mind, and it helps you learn words, and it helps you think with other people's voices as opposed to just your own inner voice. But you're not special. You're not a cut above. And you are not a, in quotes, in all capital letters, reader. And you can't therefore claim that as a reader, I have X, Y, and Z capabilities that the average person doesn't have. I'm able to do this, that, and the other thing. You're not special. It's good that you read. It's good. It's good that you brush your teeth, too. You don't walk around with your toothbrush in hand proclaiming yourself to be a toothbrusher, do you?
I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to put the toothbrush behind my ear.
I'm going to do that, and I'm going to hang like some dental floss off my other ear. Yo, bro, I'm an amateur hygienist. Have you encountered the reader, Brian, the person who goes around claiming they are a reader and therefore superior?
Yeah, I have. Not terribly often, but every once in a while someone will see me with a book in my hand and, oh, I read too. What's that? Heinlein. Who? Okay, yeah, you don't really read. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we talked about this before. I kind of blame Reddit for that and the elevation of sort of really pedestrian pastimes to something that is to be looked at twice. You know what I mean? I'm a reader, and as a reader, dear Redditors, I believe we should engage in a circle jerk regarding the following. You're not a scholar because you're a reader. I'll say that. And that is the air I think some people try to put on.
I was reading a book today, actually, that it was original Battlestar Galactica, not the, you know, new series or whatever. And I like the original series, but I don't have any illusions about what it is. It was primetime television. It was entertaining, 1 hour episode, not great literature, not any kind of masterpiece. It was just fun. The books are really good. The books are great, and the books have a lot of depth to them. They have different perspectives, different motivations for different characters and things. They're really deep. And I was thinking of how deep, in general, books are to like a fluffy 1 hour television episode. Definitely read. Everyone should read. I think it's a higher pursuit, but it doesn't necessarily make you higher.
Right. And that's really, I think, what we're trying to drive at. You are not a better person for reading. And I would say that the person who takes his or her reading too seriously would approach the Battlestar Galactica scenario like this. Oh, you're a fan of the series? You really should read the novelization. Versus, oh, you like the series? Hey, if you've got time and you enjoy reading, I really recommend the novels. They're like the show, but like there's even more to them. It's all in the delivery.
Like I said, I was never a mega fan, but I had no idea Cylons weren't robots.
Oh, you didn't? They're supposed to be like some kind of a reptile race, aren't they?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. They're...
Yeah, the robots are just their leftover like servants, I think, or something in the original series, is it not?
Suits of armor, apparently.
Well, there you go. Another case to consider, Starship Troopers. I like the movie. It's a cool movie about like dropping down onto planets and fighting bugs. It's like just an awesome popcorn sci-fi movie. I enjoyed it. It's got really almost nothing to do with the original book. It's okay. You can enjoy the movie. I will tell you that if you want to read the book, you're in for a completely different experience. They're only barely related. And I don't hate the movie for it. I question maybe calling it Starship Troopers, but okay. I suggest to people that they try reading the book. It's a much more in-depth look into the author's mind and the author's perspectives on things. That's all. I'll leave it at that. But if you just want a fun sci-fi movie, I think Starship Troopers fits the bill. Do you agree?
I do. I love that movie, actually. I'm particularly fascinated by its sequels.
If I remember right, the sequels actually flesh out more of what was in the book, right?
Yeah. So the entire trilogy kind of sort of is close to the book.
Hey, at least they did it, right? They arrived at it in a different way. I think that's the important thing to remember, though. If you're trying to get your friends to read, don't act like a pretentious jerk. That's going to put them off. They're going to be like, oh, I don't want to be like you. I'm satisfied just watching the TV version. Thank you very much. All right. I will take another one. I like anime. Brian, do you like anime?
I like anime.
We liked anime back when it was just called Japanimation in this country, for lack of any better and more appropriate term for it.
For lack of being able to find a VHS under any other section.
Right.
Anime? What?
Right. It was either in like the kids' like animation section, where a lot of the stuff, like Vampire Hunter D, really didn't belong next to Bambi on the Blockbuster shelf, but hey, whatever. But it was either sift through the children's section to try to find that, or find the Japanimation section, probably with some like offensive like Japanese flag and like some samurai head on it or something. But we've always kind of been into anime. I think in your case, Em, even before we met, we've talked about this. When we recognized as kids that it was somehow different in its style than the traditional American animation we were used to, right?
I guess spoilers, but it's like 35 years old, so not really. I remember walking to school in the rain after watching Roy Fokker die.
Oh, man. Brutal. In Robotech, of course.
I didn't even care that I was late that day, because I usually had to run.
But right, no, right.
Just
Robotech always made me late for school as well. So we were late for school, or borderline late for school, almost on a daily basis so that we could watch anime. Therefore, we are otaku or weeboos or whatever, right? I mean, we need to embrace that label and have like anime girl pillowcases and drink ramen 24/7 and be like socially awkward, right?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty socially awkward, but...
but not because you embrace this.
Some things you can't help but embrace.
But you're not consciously embracing the otaku or weeboo or whatever the hell label is. I think weeboo is the fashionable one. I'm really not clear on what the distinction is, and I really don't want to know.
Well, I won't tell you.
Okay. But I don't accept either of those, do you? I mean, I like anime. I've got a substantial collection. I've watched it all the way from childhood into my adult life, and I will admit to anybody that I like it. It doesn't define me again.
I think actually knowing what otaku is, if someone ever says like, oh, you're an otaku, I'm not compelled to be like, no, I'm not. Or,
oh my God, kawaii. Yes, I am.
Yeah. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of things that makes me otaku, but it's not an identity. I'm something else too.
Right. I'm not going to embrace that to the exclusion of everything else, which some people seem to do, and it seems to be the expectation that you will do. Oh my God, you like anime? You must like totally only watch anime all the time, right? No, no, and I don't recommend you do that either. And I hate to say it, as we attend cons fairly regularly, I will excuse it among kids. And of course, to us, kids is like anybody up through their teens, right? I will excuse the kind of spastic behavior and the like kind of no limits, like character acting out and so on at a convention up to a certain point. And then you need to realize, come on, man, you're not obligated to act like a spaz and draw attention to yourself in a negative way just because you are a fan.
If your age begins with a 2 or anything greater than a 2, you should never glomp anyone.
Your glomping days are over, my friend. Actually, once you reach the age of majority, I think you probably need to start reconsidering some of your behavior. I know we're coming across as judgmental pricks, but this is really something I've wanted to get off my chest for a while, this sort of need to adopt a label.
But I don't think anyone has to stop doing what they do. You can still love the stuff. I am actually, and I hate to use the word because it doesn't mean what it used to mean anymore, I'm literally surrounded by books at the moment. There's a stack here. There's a stack here. My to-read pile's over here. I've got a shit ton of books here. I've never considered myself, well, I'm a reader.
But you should, Brian. Don't you understand? That gives you deeper insights into almost every aspect of human existence.
I agree with that statement, but it also does that for everyone else who picks up a book. There's nothing special about me being a reader.
Exactly, exactly. Consider that. If you're one of these people who goes around puffing out their chest and claiming to be a reader, consider that I could like pick up the exact same book you read, read it, and then I myself would be on your level, according to your own definition. The activity, the action has made me into the same thing you are. The verb has made the noun. The reading has made the reader. The reading has made the demigod. And now I'm in the pantheon with you. Or the demi-pantheon, I guess it would be. Yeah, and I think that's key, man. Let's be honest. The reader thing is what we really have been dancing around. I know that has galled us for a while. And it seems to have been a trend that I have only encountered over the past few years with people going around claiming, well, I'm a reader. I'm a reader. Let me tell you that I'm a reader. And I find it obnoxious.
So Harry Potter, I thought, was very good for readers because those people generally actually read other books and was like, wow, this is a really good hobby. Let me keep at it and everything like that. As much as I love Martin, I really think Game of Thrones was almost bad for readers because those people are kind of dicks about it. Well, I read it. When'd you read it? Well, right before the series. Yeah, it's 8 years old, dude. You're not anything special.
I will cop to that. I will cop to you having told me to read the A Song of Ice and Fire series like 4 years. Like, dude, you got to read this. You got to read this. You got to read this. And then once the show came on, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to watch it till I finally take Brian's recommendation and do the reading. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. And the only side effect is that I tell people that like the show that they really should give the books a chance because they're deeper and there's more to them.
Here's some perspective for you. I wasn't even an early adapter. I picked it up at book 3.
Right, but yet you're still much earlier to embrace it than most of the self-proclaimed readers of today, right?
Than most people who will ram it down your throat.
yeah, exactly. Well, I think we've done a pretty thorough job bashing readers and gamers and otakus and...
What are Star Wars people called?
Warzians? They're just Star Wars fans, right?
There's got to be a better way.
They're not called like Lucas heads or something?
Doubt that one.
ILMers, Force heads, saber brains, laser brains. Let's call them laser brains.
Laser brains does not sound bad. A little generic though. We'll see.
Well, a real fan would know exactly from what scene laser brain came, Brian. A real laser brain. Otherwise, you're just a nerf herder. So you're going to start a movement, or are we going to add our own annoying label to the mix? Is that what you're proposing?
If there's not one, I think we should definitely, like, I mean, we got to call them something.
All right. Laser brains is a working label, but we reserve the right to change it. And I want to round things out by saying the subculture who I blame for all of this, and they have nothing to do with being geeky and nerdy, which I guess are kind of labels in and of themselves. I'm talking about weed enthusiasts. I get that you like marijuana, but I think that you and your kind are the biggest offenders here. I don't care if you smoke marijuana, and neither does anybody else, and you don't have to wear clothing and go to crappy concerts to reinforce the fact that you like weed. It's cool. Just like weed. But stop setting the trend for all these other scenes, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm really curious now. I don't actually know a lot of whatever one calls a weed enthusiast, but do they subgroup? Do they subdivide? Are there like, oh, you like Kush? Oh, I can't possibly be your friend.
They subdivide along things like music. Like there's a whole subgenre of metal now called like stoner metal, which just sounds like kind of like languid metal to me, really. Which I guess sort of makes sense.
It's called rock.
I'll have to let you sample some stoner metal so you can try to identify characteristics of stoner metal so we can like correctly identify it when we hear it. But that's a pretty obnoxious crossover between quote unquote weed culture and music. They probably also subdivide based on, yeah, like you said, the different brands of weed or what have you. I don't know enough about weed to really talk, and I'm not condemning it. I'm just kind of condemning the culture around it, just like I really don't like people who put like beer signs in their house. I won't say I don't like the people, but come on, man, it's just beer. It's really not that great, is it?
No, all beer tastes the same to me. I've had one beer that I liked. One beer that did not taste like, oh, this is beer.
I like a beer and I like certain beers, but I don't know if I like them enough to embrace them to that level. But of course, you know what? We're probably just being hypocrites because even as we condemn others for going around, we probably wear our own labels without even thinking twice about it. For example, we claim to be members of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. I mean, how stupid is that?
I think that one's verifiable.
Is it? Well, you know what? I think you're onto something. And I think I know a way that people can verify that Nerdstravaganza as a podcast is itself verifiable. That way would be by checking out our podcast on iTunes, by subscribing to our podcast, by writing us a favorable review, and by giving us a maximum number of stars on the iTunes. In addition, I recommend that people who really want to be labeled as true listeners check us out on Stitcher if they prefer a streaming solution.
And if you want to be a true liker, like us on Facebook, follower, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, I don't really know what a plus oneer would be. If you want to be a oneer, plus one is on Google Plus. And don't forget to join the Facebook group for the full experience.
Truly, listeners, it's the only way you can call yourself a groupie and be taken seriously.